Eluhu. Sponsor for today, 28.
This is the Aram Monthly.
Okay, today's sponsor is Baruch Fischel and Tanya Kozlovsky and family, as well as Adrian and Harry Kozlovsky and family, in commemoration of the fifth yahrzeit of Baruch Fischel and Harry's dear father, Leon Kozlovsky Zatzal. The sponsor of the month is in honor of the members of Suburban for their warmth. Okay, so we'll start from the first line in Yedbeis Amar Aleph. Yiboy luhu nesachem haboyim b'fnei atzman t'unin shira o ein t'unin shira. If you would have a case where a person was bringing the libations separate from bringing the carbon, so as she says, let's say, one day they brought the carbon, the offering, and then the next day they're bringing the libations. So in such a case, to unin shira, do you have to do the shira, the singing process, or into unin shira? Or maybe not. So the Gemara clarifies, what's the question? Kevin to Amr Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amr Rebbe Yonasan. Because Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said, in the name of Rebbe Yonasan, minayin shein omrim shira el al ayayin v'chulei. So this is what the Gemara brought earlier. The pasuk that the shira is said at the time of the nesachim, the time of the libations. So do we say amrinan? Maybe we should say the shira, even though it's in two separate days, but today when I'm bringing the libations, I should say the shira. Odum al achila v'shtia amrinan, ashtia l'chud lo amrinan. Or says the Gemara, maybe you only find, you say libations on the Nesachim part, if it's together on the same day with an achila, with the actual bringing of the offering, the carbon. But maybe if you separate the two, maybe you actually don't bring it. In other words, even though we know it's brought at the time of the Nesachim, at the time of the libations, does it mean you do it totally separate from the bringing of the carbon? And even if you would have a separate day, just when I bring the libations, I should do it then? Or is it only if it's brought together in the same day with the carbon, with the offering, then I do it at the point in time when I'm doing the nesachim? So where it says Tashma, and I'll come and bring you a proof to answer the question. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Megalgalin Schus Liyom Zakai V'chulei. So this is the brisa which the Gemara again brought earlier, and over there it's a story that basically when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, on Tisha B'Av, they were sitting and they were saying a shira. So the Gemara is trying to understand what exactly was going on in this story which the Gemara records. So, hi shira mayavidite. On that day, on Tisha B'Av, the day of the first destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, why were they saying a shira? Ilema de olas chova. If you'll tell me, bring an offering which is obligatory. Mihava, is it true that in Tisha B'Av, the first year they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, were they still bringing the normal obligatory offerings? B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz Batal HaTomid. That already 3 weeks earlier in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the Mishnah tells us that they stopped bringing the Karban Tomid, the normal obligatory offering. Because basically Rashi says that they surrounded the city and they ran out of animals. So you can't say on Tisha that they were bringing the obligatory offering, which would require them to say shira, because we know that 3 weeks earlier they had already stopped. So what's going on in the brisa, which is describing on Tisha B'Av, the year of the first destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, they were saying shira. Why were they saying shira? So Elo de Olas Nedava. Maybe you'll tell me they were saying shira because of a voluntary offering, which the Gemara suggested before, that. And that would be from the leftover money, they would bring offerings on the Mizbeah. And Rashi says, the Gemara was suggesting before that maybe a specific animal fell into their hands, which is not good enough for the obligatory offering, so they didn't bring it as that. Maybe they brought an optional offering. So for that case, they were saying the Shira. Says the Gemara, no. V'atani Rev Mari Breid Rev Kahano. To Lotzricha Elo Nesachin. but we came out before. The Rav Mari Breder of Kahana said that you only say Shira, you only do the singing on an obligatory offering, but on an optional offering, like an Olas Nedava, and you don't do Shira. So we're very confused. The Braisa described on Tisha B'Av in the Beis HaMikdash, they were saying Shira. So the question is, why were they saying Shira? It's not because there was the obligatory offering, because that stopped 3 weeks before. So it says the Gemara must be because, or if you'll tell me that it was an optional offering, or we came out on an optional offering, you also don't say Shira. So what was happening on Tisha B'Av that the Braisa was describing that they were saying Shira in the Beis HaMikdash? So Amar Rav, v'tem Rav Ashi, v'tiz b'ro. Shira de Yomei, l'shem ha'aretz umloa. Okay, so I'm sorry. So the Gemara was suggesting, sorry, I skipped one line. Delot tzricha elolav d'nesachen. So the Gemara says the answer for the Braisa, the case is they were saying Shira for a carbon which they brought 3 weeks earlier, on Shivasar Batamas, or the day before Shivasar Batamas. And it seems like the Nesachim were not brought until this day, 3 weeks later in Tisha B'Av. And so they were bringing Nesachim 3 weeks later, separate from bringing the carbon. And the Braisa is describing, they were saying Shira. So we have a proof from the Braisa that even if you would separate the day of bringing the carbon from the day of bringing the libations, the Braisa is still describing that they were saying Shira over the Nesachim themselves. So Amar Rav Avitema Rav Ashi, V'tizbara, is that logical? Shira de Yomei Lashem Ha'aretz Umloa. The proper Shira they should be saying on that day, which was a Sunday, which would be the Shira of Lashem Ha'aretz Umloa. That Perek in Tehillim. But it says in the Braisa, they said, Vayeshev Alemas Onam, which is B'Shira Darba B'Shabahu, which was the Shira which was normally said on a Wednesday. So we have a question, even in what you're suggesting, that the carbon was brought earlier, and it was today on a Sunday, they were saying the libations for the offering brought much earlier. We're saying it still doesn't fit, because why were they saying the Shira for the wrong day? It was a Sunday, and they were saying the Shira, which you would normally say on a Wednesday. So the Gemara says, Ela Aila Ba'almuhu D'Nafalahu B'Pumayu. This is the explanation for the Braisa. There wasn't any obligatory Shira that they were saying. What was it? It was a kina, it was a lament. They were singing. It wasn't the obligatory Shira that goes with an offering. Ask the Gemara, V'omdin al duchnan katani, but they were standing in the normal place they would stand, which normally sounds like that was connected to an obligation. My answer is no, k'dereish lakish. Like reish lakish, damar reish lakish, omer shira shalal ala karban. Reish lakish says there's no problem of going to stand by the normal place, the duchen, and to say Shira, even if you're not bringing an offering. So the case of the Braisa is, there was no offering being brought. They were saying a kina, they were saying a lamentation. And it's not a problem that they were standing in the normal place, because Reish Lakish says that's no problem. So ask the Gemara, Yachi ben Asachim nami lema. So if there's no problem of saying optional Shira, so then why did we come out earlier if it's optional offerings? Right, we said the obligatory offerings, you do say Shira. We said the optional offerings, you don't say Shira. Ask the Gemara, but if Reish Lakish is saying that if you, there's no problem of saying Shira, even though there's no formal obligation, so even on the optional offerings, why did you tell me I'm not allowed to say Shira? Gemara says, Nafek minei charva. It could be confusing if you just say Shira. If you would say Shira connected to an optional offering, then people might think to say that Shira is not an obligation. Because if you do it in a case where you actually have to do it, so the words get spread that this is an optional Shira, it's going to get confusing that when you have the tamid, the constant offering which you bring every day where there's an obligation to Shira, people are also going to say, so just Shira without, but once you start doing it with a carbon, but you're not obligated to do it, then people are going to get confused and say, well, even when you do a carbon, to say Shira, yes, we didn't have to, but we just chose to do it. So it shouldn't get confusing that it's optional to do Shira by certain offerings. We said by all offerings, you have to do it. If you don't have to do it, you're not allowed to do it. Because if we give you options, it's going to get confusing which obligation is just an option. Okay, the two dots in the middle of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Kufa, Reb Yossi Amar Galgalin Tzchus Liyam Zakai Rishono. Okay. So the Gemara brought a brisa before, which said, the simple reading of the brisa would say that both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were both destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So Shemitah cycle is a seven-year cycle, right? There's seven cycles, which gets you to year 49, and then the 50th year is the Yovel year. So the Gemara brought a brisa, which the simplest reading would say the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were both destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So the Gemara is going to go one by one to try to figure out how that fits. So ask the Gemara, B'motzi Shvias Mimishkachas Lo? Does it make sense the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle? Gemara is saying Motzi Shvias, which means the year after year 7, which is year 1 of the next cycle. V'aksiv, we learned in Apasek Be'esrim V'chamesh Shana L'galuseinu, 25 years since our exile. So at this point, the exile doesn't mean the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, the exile was, which we'll see a little bit later, was basically the start of the exile, which happened about 11 years earlier. So 25 years after the start of that Golus, the Rosh Hashanah, now we're holding on Rosh Hashanah Be'esr L'Chodesh. So this is a confusing line, which the Gemara is going to discuss. We're on Rosh Hashanah, which is Arn Yom Kippur. So it's a little bit of a funny phrase. What does it mean? Rosh Hashanah is on Yom Kippur. Ba'arba esrei shana achar asher huksa ha'ir. 14 years after the destruction of Yerushalayim. So note that this is a pasuk saying we're holding on Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom Kippur. And it's 14 years ago there was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, Ezu hishana she Rosh Hashanah. Which year does it make sense to refer to as Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur? Heavy Omer is a Yovel. That makes sense by a Yovel year, which Rashi explains that on the Yovel year on Yom Kippur, they would blow shofar, and the Avadim, the slaves would go home, and the fields would return to their owners. So there was an aspect of a newness. Basically, on the Yom Kippur, there was a hischatshus, there was a fresh start, so to speak. So the Pasuk, when it says Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is saying we're on a Yovel year, and it's saying 14 years ago was the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so if we do a little math, so we know we're holding on year 50, because we're on the Yovel year. Okay, so the Gemara told, the Braisa said that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. Okay? 1 to 7 would be the first cycle, 14, 21, 28, 35. So 36, year 36 would be the first year of a Shemitah cycle. Okay. So if we count, we have 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, plus 10, which would get us to year 50, would be 15 years. So if you count 36, which as the first year, then it's really going to come out 15 years to year 50. That's the if you're going to tell me that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the first year of the Shemitah cycle, in year 36, so to count from the first year of the Shemitah cycle to the first year of the next would get you to 8. Again, assuming you count year 1 as 1. And you count to the next Shemitah cycle, it'll get you to 15. So in other words, if you count 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, all the way up to 50, you get 15 years. So how does it fit? We know the Pasuk said, on the Yovel year, it was 14 years ago, was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But if we count backwards, we should really get to year 37. And year 37 is really the second year of the Shemitah cycle, not the first year. So Amar Ravina Barba Esrei Shana Achar Shana Shehuk Sa'ir. Says Ravina, no, the right way to count it is 14 years, excluding the year which it was destroyed. So it was destroyed in year 36 of the Shemitah cycle. And then when you count, you start 37, 38, 39, 40, plus 10, which is It's like saying we're on the Yovel year. 14 years ago, plus the year that it was destroyed, gets you back to year 36, which is the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Ask the Gemara, if you're right that you're counting 14 years, excluding the year it was destroyed. So the other part of the Pasuk, which said, again, we're holding on Yovel, and it said 25 years ago was the first step of the Golus. Says of Ravina, if you're right, it should come out 26. Why? The Amar Mar, Golu B'Sheva, Golu B'Shmona. So the simplest, the Rashi says, the way the Gemara is understanding to read this is, the first stage of the Golus was in 7 years after Yehoyakim was captured, which is Golu B'Yedches, sorry, which is Golu B'Shmona, which is the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Golu B'Yedches, and the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happened in the 18th year from when Yehoyakim was captured, which was Galu B'Yates, which was 19 years after Nebuchadnezzar became a king. So Mishev Atam Nisari, from 7 until 18, which is 11 years from the first stage of the Galus to the second stage. Chadsari is 11 years. V'chamesh Esrei is Esrim V'shis Havya. If you add the 11 years of the Galus, of the exile, plus Ravina saying is count 14, except the year which actually was destroyed, which is 15. So 15 and 26. So how does the Pasuk say that it was 25 years before year 50, it was the exile? Amalecha Ravina l'didach minicha, says Ravina, and according to you, what you were assuming in your question, that it really happened in year 37, and you would count 37, 38, 39, 40, 14 years. Is it any better why the Pasuk said 25 years before Yovel was the first stage of the exile? Michti galu nami b'tshasri. So Ravina says, the way I understand that phrase is that the second stage of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's becoming a king. So in other words, the Gemara brought an interesting phrase which said, Galu b'yedches, Galu b'yedches. They were exiled in the 18th year and the 19th year. So the question is that referring to one time and it's referring to it in two different ways? Which is the way we explained it before, that it was referring to one period of time and it was 18 years to one event and 19 years to a different event. That would be one way to read it. That it's actually referring to two different stages of the exile. And the whole exile only happened in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So Ravina says, I'm reading it as saying that the full exile happened in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So Mishev Va'at Teshasrei is Tarti Sari. So from 7 to 19 is 12. Va'arba Sari plus 14 years since the actual Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is Esrim V'shis Havyim, would come out 26. So in other words, we were asking on Ravina, according to you that said it was 14 years, again, we're on the 50th year, 14 years ago was the destruction. Ravina said except year 36 itself, which got us to 15 years. So the Gemara asked, but the Pasuk said 25 years before year 50 was the first stage of the exile. I said, according to Ravina, it should really come out 26, because the 15 plus 11 will come out 26. So Ravina turns it back and says, well, if you're right, let's say it would be 14. Well, it'll still be 14 and 12. Instead of 15 and 11, it'll be 14 and 12. So it's still 26. So Elamayis l'chalameimer, how would you answer the question? L'bar mishasa the galuba. You would say, no, don't count year 25 itself. In other words, when we're on year 50, and we're saying 25 years ago was the first stage of the exile. It means not including year 25. So you count 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, plus the next 20. So you get the 25 years, not 26. So, l'didi nami l'bar mishasa de galuba. So says Ravina, so to me. Don't count year 25 itself. And therefore, it'll only come out to 25. So the Gemara asks, because makom teshasri l'Ravina kasha. But the way Ravina was looking at it, that's 7 to 19. The actual exile was in year 19. It'll come out in him, it's really still 15 plus 12. The Gemara says, no, that's not the right way to read that memra. Misavra shalosh galdias havi. You're under three separate stages? And you're 7, you're 18, 19? No. Galdu b'sheva l'kivish yoyakim. The right way to read it was that there was an exile. In other words, that this brisa, which we were quoting, is referring to two separate times. And the way to read it is as follows. There was an exile in the 7th year, l'kivish yoyakim, when Yoyakim was conquered, Shishmona l'Nevuchadnezzar, which is the 8th year for Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So that one event, referring to a different time, 7th year from Yoyakim conquered, 8th year from Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And the second event, Galu b'Shmona Esrei l'Kivish Yoyakim, there was the exile, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was 18 years after Yoyakim was conquered. Shehi, that same event was Shasra l'Nebuchadnezzar, 19 years after Nebuchadnezzar became a melech, became a king. The Amar Shana Rishona Kivush Nineveh, that Nebuchadnezzar in his first year conquered Nineveh. Shana Shnia Olav Kivush Yoyakim, in his second year he conquered Yoyakim. So to summarize outside, the Brisa said that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So far, we're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that would mean year 36 in the Shemitah cycle. Okay, 35 would finish the fifth cycle. Year 36 would be the first year of the sixth cycle. The Gemara's problem was that in the Pasuk it says, we were holding on a Yovel year, and they were saying 14 years ago was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara was bothered that if you count 14 years before, you really come out as the destruction was on the 37th year, not the 36th year. So the Gemara said, no, the right way to count is 14 years beside 36. The other part of the verse which said, and 25 years ago was the first stage of the Galus, 25 years before year 50, except year 25 itself, when it actually happened. So in other words, both counts are excluded from the actual event. The first, the actual 6. Remember, counting back from 50, both are excluding year 25 and year 56. The Brisa also said that in the second year, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah year. So Vishniya b'motzi shvias mimeshkachaslo, says the Gemara, does that fit that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah year? Michti. Bayesheini kamakam. How long did the second Beis HaMikdash stand? Arba meya ve'esrim. 420 years. So arba meya t'manya yovli. 400 years is 8 times 50. So 50 years is a yovel cycle. So 8 yovel cycles. Okay, now we can jump forward. We're past 400 years. Arba is trei shavua. So now we're in years 401 to 414. That's 2 more full Shemitah cycles. So now if we count 415, 416, 417, 418, 419, 420. So it comes out, Rashi says it was destroyed the year after 420, 421. 421 would actually be year 7. So it says the Gemara, Pashalu hu shis, you're left over with 6. Havale b'shisa b'shavua. It'll come out the last year that it stood was year 420, which means if it was destroyed in 421, it was really the 7th year of a Shemitah cycle. Again, if you take, we're trying to get to year 421. So if the 50 years is a full Yovel cycle, 50 times 8 gets us through 400 years. 2 more weeks gets us through 414 years. And if we count 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, that gets us 6 more years. 421 was the 7th year. So how could the Brisa say the destruction was in year 1 of the Shemitah cycle? If we count it out, it comes out it's year 7 of the Shemitah cycle. Mar says, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Brisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? The Omar Shnas Chamishim Ola Lakan Ulakan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a full Yovel cycle is really 49 years. Because even though Yovel is the 50th year, but when you count the next cycle, it counts as year one for the next cycle. So it's not 1 to 50, 51 to 100. It's 1 to 50, and then really 50 to 98. So what happens if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, Haisi tmanya mitamanya yovli, you'll come out that with an extra 8 days. In other words, we said from 1 to 400 was 8 complete 50-year cycles. Well, now in Rabbi Yehuda, it's 8 complete 49-year cycles. So that gets us to 392. So you have an extra 8 days. V'hani shis havi arbeser. So in other words, if we would say 8 complete cycles gets us through year 392. Now from year 393 to 420 is a perfect 28 days. 28 years. Okay, so that would mean 4 complete Shemitah cycles. So now we're holding on 420 was the 7th year. 421 is the first year of the next cycle. So in Rabbi Yehuda it comes out, year 421 was the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Ishtakach, the Motzi Shvi'as Charev, it comes out according to Rabbi Yehuda, that in the first year of the Shemitah cycle it was destroyed. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rishonu L'mishkan Chaslo. Says the Gemara, very good. You answered the second Beis HaMikdash according to Rabbi Yehuda, why it was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. But the same Braisa said the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not going to fit by the first Beis HaMikdash. Why not? The Tanya, Shiva Asar Yovlos Manu Yisrael. There were 17 Yovels Klal Yisrael counted Mishenichlesu La'aretz V'achi Yetzu. Rashi says, we know when Klal Yisrael first came in to Eretz Yisrael, they were there 440 years before they built a Beis HaMikdash. Then they built a Beis HaMikdash, which lasted 410 years. The first one lasted 410. So 440 plus 410 takes us to 950. 850. Where am I off? Okay, look at the Rashi Yudzayin Yovlos. Nafuk mikroi. Vahib ishmonim shana barame yoshana. Dal arboim de midbar, minus the 40 of the midbar, ishtakach de nifsu la'oras kodim binid abayis arbameyas arboim. Ubayis region amma tuf yod aray tuf tuf nun aray yizan. Good, 850. Okay. Okay, very good. Glad everybody's awake. Iyata yachalomar, mishashe nichnesu manu. Says the Gemara, you can't say that immediately when they came in, they started counting. Why not? Shemata Omer, okay, Nimsa Bai Yischar B'Tchilas Yovel. It would come out. In other words, we know it was destroyed on year 850. Because if we put 440 and 410, we come out with 850. So says the Gemara, if they started counting Shemitah and Yovel the year they came in, says the Braisa, then it doesn't fit. Because it would come out, it was destroyed on year 850. And year 850 would come out that it was really the 7th year of a Yovel cycle. So v'yata moti b'arbesrei shana achar sharash v'uksa'ir. And it doesn't fit because the pasuk was clear that 14 years before the Yovel year, it was destroyed. So in other words, if they started counting right when they came in, and you fast forward 850 years, which is a perfect 50 times 17 gets you to year 850. So it would come out in year 850, it was destroyed on a Yovel year. But it's clear in the pasuk, it was destroyed 14 years before a Yovel year. So we need to work out that 850 years after they entered was 14 years before the Yovel year. In other words, the Yovel year needs to be year 864. So says the Gemara, Ela tzebihem sheva shekivshev sheva shechilku. So minus the 7 years which they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the 7 years they divided Eretz Yisrael. So that means they came in after 14 years started counting. So that takes us, fast forward, 850 was 14 years before the Yovel year, which was in year 864. And then it'll come out very good that the Pasuk was saying 14 years ago, when the Pasuk was talking on 864 years after they entered, 14 years ago in year 850, after you entered, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, so that's basically It's a similar thing to what it's basically what we said in Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, E Reb Yehuda, if you're going to tell me that it's the opinion of Reb Yehuda who says that a Shemitah cycle is not really 50 years when you count that each one's 49 years. So I see Shivsari Meshivsari Yovli. You're going to come out with an extra 17 years. For each Shemitah cycle, you'll come out with an extra 17 years. Shadiyahani, if you add it onto this, Havale Betlosa Bishavua, it'll come out that year 850 is really the third year of the next Shemitah cycle. Okay, so why is that? If you do 17 times 49, you come out, I believe, with 833 plus 14 years, which the first 14 years they didn't count. So that'll take us through year 847. So in Reb Yehuda, year 848 when they entered was year 1 of a Shemitah, 49 was 2, 50 was 3. So we can answer why by the second Beis HaMikdash in Reb Yehuda, it was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle, and we didn't understand it in the math. It didn't work out according to the Rabbanan that a Shemitah cycle was 50 years. And we're saying, but if you go back to Amud Aleph, which was the first Beis HaMikdash, so then it comes out the other way. It comes out in Reb Yehuda, it would come out that year 850 was the third year of a Shemitah cycle. And the Braisa said clear that it was really the first year of a Shemitah cycle. And when it comes to the second Beis HaMikdash, we only understand it according to Reb Yehuda, who says that a Shemitah cycle would be 49 years. So basically, we're stuck at this point. The Braisa said both. The simple reading of the Braisa was both Beis HaMikdashes were destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle. The first Beis HaMikdash we only worked out using the Rabbanan that a full Yovel cycle would be 50 years. Second Beis HaMikdash we could only work it out using Reb Yehuda that a full Shemitah cycle you count it as 49 years. So the Gemara has two suggestions how to answer the question. Hanach Shani Daglinu Sancheriv Ada Asir Yirmiyahu Ahadrinu Loka Chashiv Luhu. So the first answer is really the Brice is Reb Yehuda. And the second Beis HaMikdash is easily understood like we said before. But the first Beis HaMikdash, how did it come out? The year 850 was really the first year of a Shemitah cycle. Says Rashi, because when Klal Yisrael got kicked out at a point during the first Bayis, and they came back in year 814, if you see the huge Rashi over here, so you could... He's going through all the steps how to work it out. But they came back in year 814. He works out there were three different kings, which was a total of 36 years until the Churban Abayis in year 850. So it comes out, says Rashi, when they came back in year 814, after they were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, they restarted counting in year 815. So now 815, even according to Yehuda, was year 1. Fast forward to year 850, which is year 36. So it comes out, even according to Reb Yehuda, the first Beis HaMikdash in year 850 was the 36th year of the Shemitah cycle, which is the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, so the first answer is the Braisa, which says both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed in the first Shemitah cycle, is the opinion of Reb Yehuda. And the second one, like we said before, you count 17 Shemitah cycles. I'm sorry, the second one was 420 years, which in Reb Yehuda came out, the eight Shemitah cycles took us to year 392, plus 4 weeks took us to year 420. 421 is destroyed, and the first Beis HaMikdash was also in Reb Yehuda, destroyed in the first year because of what we just said, that they were kicked out, they came back in year 815 after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Fast forward to 850, it was destroyed on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. So it's going to be Ibais Eima. Another option, La'olam Rabbanan. Really, maybe the Brice is the opinion of the Rabbanan. V'chikatani v'chein v'shnia. So the problem with the Rabbanan, I understood the first Beis HaMikdash was in the first year of a Shemitah cycle. We were getting stuck. Why was the second year of the Beis HaMikdash? Well, why was the second Beis HaMikdash on the first year of a Shemitah cycle? Says the you misread the Brice. V'chikatani v'chein v'shnia. When the Brice said, so too by the second Beis HaMikdash, Asher. It wasn't saying everything that happened in the first Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't saying even the year of the Shemitah cycle when the first Beis HaMikdash was the same by the second. It was saying some of the things were the same. In other words, it was the same day, Tisha B'Av. It wasn't saying even the same year of the Shemitah cycle. Hachanami Mistavar says, I'll prove it to you that when the Braisa said so too in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't going on everything. If you'll say that the Braisa means everything was the same in the times of the first and the second, so the Braisa mentioned the Yehoyariv, which is the name of a person, a family, that the Mishmar, right, so the Beis HaMikdash, there were 24 Mishmars, which means 24 groups of people that would come and they would read Psukim, etc. So in the Braisa mentioned the family of Yehoyariv. So says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me the Braisa means everything that was true in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash was also true in the times of the second. So what was Yehoyariv around? Was that family around at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash? I'll prove it to you it's not true. Batanya, Arba Mishmars Olam Min HaGola. There were four Mishmars that came back from the Golus, meaning for the when they were coming back for the Bayis Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash. The names were Yedaya, Vecharim, Pishchar, Ve'emar. Those four families. So there was only four Mishmar groups that came back, and we need 24. So what they do? Amdu Neviim Shebeinayim Bechilkum L'Chavdal and Mishmaros. They went and they divided the four into six different groups. Balulum V'Nosnum V'Kalpi. They put all the different names into a box. Bo Yedaya V'Notal Chelko Chelak Chavei Rav Sheish. So Yedaya came, picked six different portions of his family to represent six different mishmaros. Bacharim notal chelko chelak haver of sheish. The next family did the same. Chein pishchor vechein imar. So all four families, they basically divided the four families into 24 families. So we have back 24 mishmaros. Hiskino neviim shebeinim shafilo Yehoyariv rosh mishmaros olu lo yidcha yedayim imkomo. And they made a takana. They made a decree that even if Yehoyariv comes back, we're not going to kick out the people we just put into the places, the Mishmaros. El Yedaya Ikar Yoyariv Tafel. The main Mishmar would still be this family of Yedaya, and Yoyariv would only be secondary. Tafel lo. So the Braisa is ain't clear that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Yoyariv, that family, did not have the same role of a Mishmar as it had in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is saying, if you're going to tell me when the Braisa said V'chein B'Shniyah, so too in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, it's going on everything, well, it's going to come out inconsistent anyway, because the Mishmar of this family of Yehoyariv, we know was different between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second. So El Ashara, I'll prove to you that when the Braisa said, so too in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't mean in every regard the second was the same as the first. It means in certain regards. So too I could tell you that even though the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, when it comes to the second, the Braisa never said explicitly that the second was also in the first year of a Shemitah cycle. Can you say a short idea on the parasha? Okay, so it says in this week's parasha that Hashem is Nosi Avon over Al Pesha. He's forgiving, he overlooks a person's chet, and he's has rachmanis, has mercy on a person. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that Hashem acts that way to a person. If a person acts that way with is easygoing and merciful to his friend. So in other words, if we act that way to other people, so the midah k'neged midah, so then Hashem acts with that midah of being merciful towards us. So I was thinking that idea of being willing to forego something to a friend, or being willing to say, somebody does something to you, being willing to push it aside, it comes from a place of anava, of a person being modest and not thinking that everything, I don't deserve everything. If a person walks in with the perspective that I deserve covet and I deserve honor and etc. So then if somebody slights you, so then it's you're naturally holding a grudge. If a person's coming from a place of being very modest and not expecting anything, so then it more naturally follows that, okay, somebody did something to me, so what's the big deal? I didn't deserve it anyway. So I just heard an interesting story with Rabbi Kivager, anybody who's ever read Rabbi Kivager, it's like unbelievable to read. In the yeshiva world, he is king of kings. So they, I just heard a story of Rabbi Kivager. Somebody writes to him a tshuva, one of his distant relatives, asked him a question on a Gemara he was learning. So Rabbi Kivager responds, I spent a half an hour reading your letter, and I wasn't, because of my small amount of wisdom that I have, I wasn't able to appreciate the question that you were asking. So between me and you, he probably didn't think it was a good question. Okay, but he was holding by such a place that he was, one, making the person feel good by saying, I couldn't understand what you were saying, and I'm sure there was some truth to it, that he was willing to really put himself down to try to understand what somebody so much smaller than him was saying. So it's this midah of anava affects itself so much in life and even specifically in learning, that so often a person can be learning something and you get to something and you don't understand it. So is the right thing to say, this doesn't make any sense? Or is the way to phrase that same line of, I don't understand what the Gemara is saying, or I don't understand what so-and-so is saying? So if you come from a perspective of anava, of modesty, so then it can help in the Meid Adam L'Chaveiro, in terms of being more easygoing with friends of, I didn't deserve this anyway. And in the same Dekuda, same message from the story of Rabbi Kivager, that he's willing to listen to somebody so much lower than him and try to understand what he's saying. So it's all the more so when we're learning Gemara, or we're learning Chumash, or we're learning something which is so beyond us, to try to walk in with a little perspective of modesty, of I don't understand what it's saying, instead of, so to speak, throwing it aside and saying this doesn't make much sense. Champs.
No, I'm not.